It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 658. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and facebook.com/miketechshow. The show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or go directly to instanthousecall.com and use the promo code miketechshow to start your free 15-day trial. I want to first make an announcement about the live shows. Since Ustream was taken over by IBM, the chat no longer works with external clients. The video, it's been horrible. And me as a content provider and producer for this, it's just been a nightmare. I want to get far, far away from Ustream as I can. So I will go to Twitch and we'll see how that goes. My youngest son, Tyler, is going to help me over the weekend do a test show and do some live, see how it works with my gear, and we will make sure I will tweet it, I will Facebook it, I will put a big announcement on the front page at miketechshow.com. You will know how to get it and how to get to it. Hopefully, things will get better from there. Sorry about last week, not doing a show. It's been 2 weeks. Because of my broken foot, and I've been having some real difficulties, I had to shut it down. I had to shut everything down. I have not left the house in over 2 weeks. I can't put the weight on my foot or it's never going to get better. I've been doing all my work in the trenches remotely. And there's a lot of work I'm going to talk about here tonight. I have a follow-up visit with the orthopedic doctor on Tuesday where there'll be new x-rays, and then I'll have an update next week. That next Tuesday, I think I'm going to learn whether there's going to be surgery or not. So trying to heal, but it's still bothering me. It's still giving me issues, so I got to work through it. Tonight's show is about, like I said, some stories from the trenches, things I'm working on, but I'm going to also focus on some Windows 10 updates and things you should be aware of with the Windows 10 updates and what I've been battling. And then also, I have a stack of email that I'm going to get to. So let's begin with what I've been working on, and I am so glad that my biggest client, where there's 40 workstations, we had a manufacturing ERP upgrade, not last weekend, but the weekend before. They have four servers. Two of them are Oracle servers with the Oracle database. So we had this upgrade I had to apply, and I was able to do it all successfully, remotely, with Instant House Call. On every single computer, I had to not only do the training server, but the production server. And then I had to touch the client for their software on every single workstation. But with Instant House Call, the most I could concentrate at a time was three workstations at a time. I had my two screens divided up into three workstations that I was remoted into. And I did three at a time, took a few minutes for each one, and I just dutifully went through everything as late as I could on Friday night, picked it up again on Saturday. Then I had to launch some backups. I mean, I spent a good 12 hours remotely getting this work done, but really nice to stay busy and keep working on everything. Now, Saturday, Ken and Mike Jr. was at a dental office, and it's interesting. I was going to do big software update for EagleSoft, for their software, and I was all ready to do that remotely while they were on site doing other things. They were doing an upgrade of phones, and they had a new multifunction machine that was installed. And so Ken was doing that while Michael hit the phones. We postponed the software update for the following reason. When I'm done, I want to make sure that everything is working. And when it comes to the dental software in the exam rooms, you need one of the dental assistants to be able to test the camera and the x-ray. There's two different functions that have to occur in each of the exam rooms. But they couldn't get anybody to come back to test. And there's no way I'm going to perform a software upgrade, have no testing from the client, and then them try to go live on Monday morning and maybe be down. Not an option. So we're going to pick a Saturday or Sunday in the summer that one of their technicians or an assistant can come in and actually do testing when we're done. That's all we want. They got five exam rooms. We need someone to spend an hour. You know, they need like 15 minutes in each room, just making sure that the functionality is there. They have this big screen as a second screen to the system. This is where those HP mini computers are in each of the exam rooms. My mindset is all about the client and the uptime and not putting them in a position of risk where they could have downtime or have any issues. I make sure the backout plan's flawless. I make sure I have great backups of anything I'm upgrading. I make sure that there's a testing plan, and I won't proceed if we don't have these things in place. I'm very meticulous. This is my corporate world training from rolling out applications, business line apps, and the servers. And I take the same approach to my own consulting business. And I'm talking about it because I recommend this with you. Don't just blindly go in and start updating software or things. Make sure you got a plan. Make sure you test. Lots of printer updates. I have clients buying multifunction printers and upgrading. That's been, luckily, my son, Mike Jr., is like an expert now at this. So he can go in, get everything ready, except the following, which I did remotely. The client who moved from one location to another gave to a friend who's another client of mine this big monster Xerox work center. And it's an older Xerox. So we had to get Windows 10 drivers. And I always recommend, if you have a problem with a Windows 10 driver, go to the manufacturer's website and get the universal driver, and you have a better chance of it working. And that's exactly what happened here with Xerox. We made sure that the workstations, my son was on site, I was remote, and we made sure all of the workstations were printing. But then it came time to the scanning. I had to get setting up the scan to network folders. Got that going. And that took an hour or so in the right, having the right login information for the way it connects back to the workstation. Or in this case, the best thing to do was to put a server option and just have it go right to the Synology, because they're a Synology user for their server. So that worked great. I have a story that's still developing with a horrible, horrible Outlook 2016 problem that kept crashing. And I did everything. And I just received an email that there was one add-in that we think is responsible. And my client had his first successful day in Outlook not crashing. And we removed one add-in. The problem, it's the encryption add-in for him to be able to send encrypted email. So we got to work around this. So I'm going to work with SureWeb to see if they have an update, if there's a fix, or I'm going to have to find an alternative encryption solution, which I do have a couple. So I'll talk about that at another time. Windows 10. I have a rule that when it's show night, never, never perform an update. But today, I don't know what made me want to do this today, but on my Windows 10 system, I am happily running at 1709 and knock wood, no issues except for the driver issues I had to disable because of NVIDIA. So what did I do today? I decided 1803 is in the wild and it's available to everybody. Now, in Windows 10 Pro, if you go to advanced options in the updates and security, one of the first options is choose when updates are installed. And there's two options. There's semi-annual channel, and this is targeted, which means the update is ready for most people. Then there's the semi-annual channel, means it's ready for widespread use in organizations. So I was trying to get 1803 naturally, and it wasn't coming. The minute I changed to semi-annual channel targeted, it started downloading. And I'm like, okay, closed everything. Took a while to download. Yes, on my gig connection, that's insane. That means that the bottleneck is the Microsoft servers. It can't be me. I'm a gig up and down with my Fios. So it finally comes down. It installs. Everything goes fine. I'm like, all right, everything's great. No, when I get back and log in, I'm back to one monitor and there's a problem with the NVIDIA driver. And I'm like, I have policies installed to not update the driver, but it looks like something's tied to 1803 with NVIDIA that it has to do the driver update. So I got to investigate this more. I'm ready to change video cards because of this. I have never seen a problem like I'm seeing now with the 660, the GX, the GTX 660. That's what's in my machine. I've had this here for a few years. All it's done is given me grief and heartache anytime I'm doing any kind of an update within. That's why I had to freeze all updates and not allow them to come through the Microsoft anymore. Not updates, but the driver updates. I don't understand. I even went and tried to install the latest NVIDIA driver. So I had to flip back. Now, that means shutting off the system, hard booting the minute the circle starts four times, getting into safe mode. Well, excuse me. No, take that back. Getting into the repair options, then go to advanced, and then revert back to the previous operating system, which puts me back to the last version of Windows 10. That worked perfectly. And I booted. It was only a couple minutes. I'm back in both screens. Everything's working great. And the minute that that happened, I paused all Windows updates and changed that to the semi-annual option. I don't want 1803 to come down until A, I change my video card, or B, I get a workaround for this GTX 660 video card with Windows 10. It's a nightmare. Ready to go to ATI because of this. So let's see. I'll keep you posted on, or I should say AMD for the video. I will let you know what's happening. Interesting problem. Yesterday, I get a call from a client that's a break fix client. Haven't heard from him in a while. He calls, talks to my son. The operating system will not load properly. And he goes into those advanced options and tries the restore point. There was five restore points. He faithfully tried each one. None of them worked. So what I did, I told my son, I said, go there armed with a fresh USB stick with a new SSD drive, because he has a 240 gig in there now. And I said, recommend if safe mode doesn't work, and I gave him a couple other things to try. If these things don't work, pull the drive out, put a new drive in, do a fresh install from Windows 10, and then use a cable. We could do FABS, Auto Backup Pro 7, and transfer all of his files, reinstall the software. Pain in the neck, going to take some time. And it's so funny. When my son got there, he says, we're going to be reinstalling the operating system, aren't we? And he said, funny you should say that. He says, you know, I'd want to put a new drive in there. And my son holds up the new drive. He says, way ahead of you. We were on the same page. I get a text in a few minutes. My son texts me and says, Dad, he went into safe mode successfully, then rebooted. Everything's perfect. So whatever safe mode did, it fixed the boot problem, and he was able to go right in. So he was there in under a half hour, and client was happy. But there still could be a lingering issue with another update. We don't know. He does have backups. I think it's his choice. He uses Carbonite, so at least his data is backed up, and that's all we care about, is that at least he has some kind of a backup of the data files. I'm not done yet with Windows 10. Wait to hear this. You know that monster system from Puget Systems, that very expensive system? Well, I'm calling them out right now on this. They've been very helpful on the phone, and I was working with them yesterday. But the system, you can't restart it. We both determined, working remotely on this box, that there's a problem with the operating system. This is the operating system that they burned in, tested, and shipped. I now have to install Windows 10 1803. So I built the new USB media stick for 1803. And Monday, I'm actually, this is the owner of one of my biggest clients. So I'm actually going to try to go on site on Monday and do the install myself. And then from there, let Michael take over and finish up. And then I can come home and do some things remotely. I can always install Office remotely once I get Instant House Call on it. And I know it's booting successfully and rebooting. You have to hard reboot every time. So next week, I will update you on the results of redoing the operating system. We checked out all the hardware, temperatures. Everything looks good except the operating system. And for the first time, I seen the SFC check actually found but couldn't repair corrupted Windows files. So we have a very high confidence that it's the Windows install. And we're just blowing it away and wiping it. And this is a super, super fast computer. Let's get to email. And by coincidence, the first few emails are about our favorite topic, Windows 10. This is from Bob. And you got to love this subject. Have I told you lately how much I hate Windows 10 updates? Hi, Mike. I hope your foot is doing better. Thank you. We all take for granted how good we feel on a day-to-day basis until something like this happens. Then it reminds us daily until we are back up to speed again. And the bad part is, the older we get, the longer these injuries take to get back up to speed. Wishing you a speedy recovery. I wrote you last week about the Windows 10 Spring Creators update taking the home group off one of my systems and breaking all the shares. Well, I have another one this week. One of my customers is my brother-in-law who lives in Las Vegas. For years, I have been maintaining his systems using TeamViewer. Whenever he had an issue, he gives me a call, I remote in and take care of it. Well, with the last Fall Creators update, it bricked his machine so that I could not remote in to fix it. He had to spend $75 to ship it to me for repair. Well, I fixed it and spent another $75 to send it back to him. Well, he had been deferring this new Spring Creators update until one night it must have got through somehow. And now his system is in the same situation as last time. So my thought was to try and set up a bootable USB drive with a copy of one of TeamViewer's portable editions and maybe the imaging software I use. So in a worst case scenario, I could do a system restore using his most current system image. Was hoping you or one of your listeners might have a solution to do this. I have tried several ways to do this, but most of the bootable USB solutions I have tried will not run any of the different portable versions of TeamViewer I have tried. It says this version of TeamViewer is not compatible with this version of Windows. Thanks for all you do. Bob, I have an idea. This is my idea, and I would like everybody that hears this, I really want your take on this because I think it's extremely important. I have an idea. Use some sort of FaceTime and walk your brother-in-law through at least the basic install steps. Windows 10 install, doing a from scratch, it's fairly simple with very little options. And with you looking at, and I've done some wild things via FaceTime, you could literally tell him what option to take. He can hold his phone up and you can see it and tell him what to put. And then once the operating system's installed, you walk him through getting TeamViewer installed, and then you're in, and away you go. I guess that's my way of the workaround, since I don't have a permanent solution for you for this. I think Windows 10 is easy enough once he creates the bootable USB, and that you could always ship them. And then at least you can take control, reboot, work on things once he gets internet access. So just a thought out there. And Bob, I'll let you know what feedback I get from listeners on this. This is from Jim. Windows 10, 1803, update nightmare solved. So here you go. Mike, here is a story that I just posted on Computer Tech Pros. Love your show. Keep up the great work. I had a client bring in a Windows 10 HP Envoy all-in-one that would not boot. Blue screen of death with error, bad system config info, could not repair itself. I restored the system with the HP hidden partition, which took it back to a factory image of Windows 8.1, and all worked fine. Updated to Windows 10 1709, all worked fine. Updated to Windows 10 1803, all worked fine at the time. Next day, I powered it on and got the original blue screen of death. I then installed Windows 10 1803 from scratch using a flash drive, and it failed with the original blue screen of death after a few reboots. I again installed Windows 10 1803 from scratch using a flash drive, only this time, before rebooting, I did a check for updates and let Windows do some additional updates, specifically Knowledge Base 4100403. After that, I rebooted okay, and all has been working fine ever since. Let me repeat that knowledge base number, 4100403. Jim, thank you for sharing that. This is from John. Mike, I was searching for an email in an inbox folder. I then discovered that all my inbox folders are empty except for the inbox itself. One of about 20 folders, one had an email from 2003. The archive folders have a few emails. I am running Windows 10 64-bit. I have been using Outlook 2010 for a long time and have never had a problem like this. I did try the reset view data. Any help would be greatly appreciated. I love the show and still can't believe they took your Amazon link away. Actually, thank you. And since he brings that up, there is an Amazon link that Carrie Holzman and I share that's in the show notes. John, I want you to take a look at, obviously, I think if you looked at deleted items, I would like to know what email account is this for? And hopefully it's an Exchange hosted server account where if it is, you can bring back and undelete a lot of accidentally deleted emails or missing folders. There's lots of tricks. If you Google recovering using Outlook 2010 from Exchange, if it's Gmail, if you're lucky enough, go online. Now, matter of fact, no matter who the provider is, take a look. It depends. I don't know. Are you Exchange? Are you Pop? Are you IMAP? That makes a big difference. Is it possible that another profile came into play here accidentally? You got lots of things going on here. So double check. Are there any other PSTs on the system? If it's an Exchange hosted, it's an OST, and that's the easiest thing. Just recreate your account. Everything will come back down. If it's Gmail or whatever website's hosting, go to the website and see if your missing email and the folders are there. Just things to try. Let me know what happens, and hopefully one of these suggestions will help you out and be able to get your mail back. This is from Terry from Arizona. The school district I work for, we have been re-imaging all the computers in the district every summer. Three techs have to image 1,500 computers using MDT. No one can give me a good reason why we re-image the computers every year. I know that a fresh copy of Windows is always better. Our challenge is that we have to install computers in two new schools this summer, plus the rest of summer work. I worked for Kellogg's and another company, and we did not re-image computers every year. I'm wondering what you did when you worked for big companies. We used Altaris, and we used the Pixie boot, and that's an option you might see, that PXE boot option. When a workstation would not have an operating system or we knew we wanted, we would force the Pixie boot, and it would pull the image from a local server in the building, and it would just image itself, and then it would come up, and we had the image so fine-tuned using Alteris that it would boot, and it would, they would log in, and all is well, and everything's great. There is an open source boot where you could have, like, I think there's a Linux distribution, and I can't remember. It's like Fog. That might be it. I think it's Fog, where you might be able to just ship a workstation and have this same Pixie boot, and it will pull from Fog the image that you have. You should test this. It's an open source Linux distribution for imaging Windows. Now, I haven't worked with it, but I got a lot of recommendations a long time ago from listeners. They're my suggestions. You could go old school, have an image network located and do an Acronis and then pull from it. So you got to get creative, but for remote, you're going to have to get the image on site, which means shipping a system that is the server. And they can always like take that workstation and ship it back to you or whatever, but you need to get a system or a box on site that has the image that you want to deploy, because you're not going to do this remotely and pulling this image from the cloud. It would be, I know there's some solutions out there, but boy, that's going to be difficult. So you got to get something local. So I want you to start thinking about Fog, thinking about other professional services. And again, I'm relying on you who are listening. What do you recommend? Hit us up with some software options and some other options that I didn't mention here that Terry can take a look at. Carlos, network intermittently flashing between Ethernet and Wi-Fi. Hope all is well with the family, with you and the family. I am hoping you can address an issue I ran up against with a network connection flashing between Wi-Fi and Ethernet. I know both shouldn't be used at the same time. Well, actually, they're not used at the same time. One will rule based on the priority. And you'll know that by the icon in the lower right-hand side. And if it's the Wi-Fi icon, then it's going to be the Wi-Fi. If it's the Ethernet box, it's Ethernet. This is on an HP computer with the latest Creators Update 18.03 Windows 10. That's not the Creators Update. They call that the Spring Update. So I checked everything, and so did the ISP that sent out a tech. This is not the ISP's fault. At first, they thought it was the wiring and alarm system, but that checked out good. I have since changed the motherboard, and network connections is still doing the same thing. Other troubleshooting methods, updating the drivers, etc., were all done. That's where I was going to go, recommending for you. He continues, so at this point, I am thinking that it's the router itself or something unknown to me. There is hardly any software in the system at all, and all are legit. Do you have any ideas as to what can cause this? Despite all my checks and services that I've done, this one has really stumped me. Thanks for all your support and what you do. Carlos, who's in Tampa. So we get lots of Tampa listeners. I want you to go in the network sharing and settings, and I want you to disable one of them at a time. If you have Ethernet, there is no reason in the world you should be even concerned or using the Wi-Fi. If I got a wire going to a system, I disable Wi-Fi, and you go into the network settings and you right-click and disable, and there's no reason on earth that that icon should flip to Wi-Fi if you physically disabled Wi-Fi within network settings. There's just none. If you're still getting Wi-Fi after you've disabled it, I find it hard to believe that that would happen. I'm concerned that you're not truly disabling one or the other. Now, if you disable the Wi-Fi and you can't get out, there is a problem with the Ethernet. Have you checked independently with another system, like your own test laptop or I like that Link Splitter Fluke Meter? I know it's like $400, but it's a great device. There's $10. It's like more like $60, $70 network testing. So you can at least test the line from each end. I want to know that you got a really good Ethernet connection and that the cables are good. and that the Wi-Fi is disabled and you should be getting out perfectly. And if you're still not getting out and the cable's good, then you got a router problem. But you said the ISP sent a check and test it. Are you going directly to the router with your laptop and testing the connection out to see that you're going in? I need you to get an independent computer that's under your control, that's yours, in this environment, making sure that wired and wireless are working as it should, right next to and connect it to the router, and then start slowly backing out. Now, be it the switch. Now, go back to an office and go back, and you start working your way out from the router where you're disabling one and then enabling it and going back and forth testing both. But if they're desktops and they're Ethernet, there's, or even a laptop and it's Ethernet, in a wired environment, you should not even be concerned with the Wi-Fi connection. They should be disabled. I have this problem with a client that's all Macs, orthodontist. I had to permanently disable the Wi-Fi. I'm like, you're all Ethernet. Why are you living on Wi-Fi? It makes no sense. You're crippling your network connection. If you have a wire, use it. I had to go to all their Macs and make sure that Wi-Fi was disabled. And I told them, never enable this. There's no reason to enable it. Carlos, let me know how you make out. Kate sent me a great link that's going to be in the show notes. And it's from the Register. And it's have to use SMB 1.0 Windows 10 April 2018 update says no. So you know I've talked a lot about SMB 1. This is a great little article giving you Microsoft's take and a forced workaround that you can deploy if you absolutely have to use SMB 1.0. Kate, thank you very much for the link. This is from David. Love the show. Have been listening almost since the beginning. Really hope your foot is on the mend. And it's great to hear you adapting your business and how it continues. Just wondering if you had any recommendations for a Windows app for my problem. I'm after a free app that allows me to select multiple JPEGs, bitmaps, etc., and then print them all in one go. There used to be a Microsoft application in Windows 7. I think it was called Photo Viewer, which was great. You're going to love my answer. I'm not being sarcastic. You're really going to like. I am also after a free clipboard manager that will allow me to copy lots of different items to my clipboard and then select which one to paste. Thanks for all your great work. This is from Dave. I'm going to send you a link to where you can reinstall and activate the the Windows Photo Viewer that you're so comfortable with from Windows 7. You can actually have that on Windows 10. That solves that problem. Clipboard, I'm not a big clipboard manager. I'll take some suggestions between now and when I post up the show. I'm going to see if I can come up with a clipboard manager. But if you go to SourceForge, there's got to be some open source. Go to portableapps.com. There's got to be a clipboard manager out there. I would think that would be for free. It just sounds like there should be a bunch of them. Hi, Mike. Enjoy the show. Thanks for all the time you invest. A great streaming option for you is Twitch, which is now owned by Amazon. Originally part of Justin.tv, then its own game streaming service, it's morphed into a general live stream service. Has integrated chat, but a lot of streamers set up a Discord channel. Discord allows folks to keep the conversation going even when you're not streaming. Take care. This is from Roy. As I said in the beginning, it's a great suggestion, great idea, and thank you. I am going to get Twitch running. Stay tuned as I use social media to blast that out, how you would connect, and I'll even change links on the website. Remember, you can always go to miketechshow.com to find anything you need. That is it. I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor. Also, Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. I can't live without it. It's the best software that you'll ever, ever want to purchase and use. Remember, the best way to support the show, the Amazon link that is in the show notes of every posted show. When you click, it takes you to the generic Amazon page, but anything you search for and use and buy in that session contributes a small percentage back to Carrie Holzman and myself, which we share. And thank you for using that link. We really greatly appreciate it. That's it for tonight. I hope to see you back next week. I say that because each week I evaluate how I'm feeling and if I can make it or not and make it through the show. That's it, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.